Okay, it says I am reconnected. Are you hearing me now, Indy? Indy, you hear me? Okay, let's try it again. Now we're here. Now we're getting some here. Here we go. Okay, folks, I'm sorry about that. You are listening to Hank Jones. This is Hank Jones Poly Sports, part of Global Patriot Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. And, yeah, it's Wednesday. It is May 12th, 2021, and we are here. Mrs. Hank is here, announcing her presence with authority, as they say. You know what? You can contact us by listening online, or you can call in. If you call in, 319-527-6706, just hit the one if you want to talk, and I will bring you in. Otherwise, just, you know what, listen away. Listen away online. It's fun. It's easy. And we got lots of stuff going on. We got other shows on Blog Talk Radio Networks, Global Patriot Radio. Every Monday, Vito and Big Al with the Vito Esposito Show. Tuesdays, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan. Thursdays, the deplorable Paul Sutliff, with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, Andrew Herod is in with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday nights, Minister Usama Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. And then Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. Okay, we got lots to talk about this week. As usual, I always bring in these recent deaths, and they're never fun. Former University of Hawaii quarterback Colt Brennan. He never got a shot in the NFL. He had injuries there and derailed his time, and then he tried to make a comeback a couple times. He passed away yesterday in Newport Beach, California, at the age of 37. He had a three-year run at Hawaii that rewrote NCAA record books. He then attempted to try to get on with USFL and CFL and Arena League teams, but a car accident in 2010 kind of derailed any hope there. Evidently, literally hours after being turned away from a detox center on Monday due to no bed availability, he went to a hotel, hung out with a bunch of people, and was then found there. His father said he, quote, ingested something laced with fentanyl and never regained consciousness. Now, he basically Hawaii had always sort of been known, but he put him on the map in 2005, 2006, and 2007. He threw for over 4,000 yards all three seasons. 2006, he threw for 5,549 yards. He set a single-season NCAA record with 58 touchdown passes. Wasn't broken until Joe Burrow, Heisman winning quarterback at LSU, broke it in 2019. The 2007 Hawaii team finished the regular season 12-0. They got ranked 10th in the AP, and then they lost to Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. That season he finished third in the Heisman balloting. He finished sixth the year before. He's still fourth in NCAA career TD passes with 131. Wow. Had a rough go in recent years. Several arrests for various disturbances and public intoxication and driving under the influence. Really a really sad end to a what could have been story. So rest in peace, Colt Brennan. Norman Lloyd passed away, longtime actor. He was in St. Elsewhere. Probably most famously to those of us now as the headmaster of Welton Academy in that tragic but elements of comic story Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams. Passed away yesterday at age 106. 106. He began his career as a child performer in 1923. Thus, never having officially retired, he had a career that lasted 98 years. His last official movie role was in 2015 in Trainwreck. His wife, Peggy, passed away in 2011 at the age of 98. And his daughter, actress Josie Lloyd, passed away last year in 2020 at age 80 or 81. He was a fringe victim of the Hollywood blacklist. He was sort of rescued from it by Alfred Hitchcock. They'd worked together on Spellbound and Saboteur, then hired Lloyd as an associate producer and director for his Alfred Hitchcock Presents TV series. It allowed Lloyd to get back to other Hollywood projects, acting, directing, producing. He's also an avid tennis player. He played past his 100th birthday until he experienced a fall. And at his son's insistence, he stopped driving in 2014, the year he turned 100. Yeah, he passed away in his sleep yesterday morning at his Los Angeles home. Well done, Norman Lloyd. Well done. You know what? The movie Parenthood, Jason Robards has a line. One of the characters' mother says, "This isn't one of your get-rich-quick schemes, is it?" And Jason Robards says, "What's wrong with getting rich quick? Quick is the best way to get rich." Well, I got to tell you, living to 106, going to bed one night and not waking up, that's pretty much the ultimate way to live life and end life, really. I mean, just not wake up. Perfect. Another centenarian passed away yesterday at the age of 102. Lester Wolfe, he was in the Civil Air Patrol during World War II. He later served as Democrat representative in the U.S. House for the state of New York. He served from 1965 till 1981. He was defeated in 1980 by 27-year-old Jean Leboulier, GOP upstart. Leboulier ended up losing it the same way he beat Wolfe, which was via redistricting. Wolf was considered an expert in Asian culture and relations and later served in various capacities and private endeavors in that arena. Again, well done, sir. Well done. Last Saturday, we lost, at the age of 12, Bo, a Portuguese water dog who was gifted to the Obama family during their early months in the White House. One reason for that, for the selection of that breed, is that breed is considered hypoallergenic and thus would not cause problems for Malia Obama, their oldest child. He has now crossed the Rainbow Bridge. Also, last Saturday, Peter DuPont, yes, part of those DuPonts, he passed away at the age of 86. In addition to being rich, he was also a Republican U.S. representative from Delaware and later served as that state's governor. He later served on various boards and think tanks. Up until May of 2014, he wrote a monthly column for the Wall Street Journal called Outside the Box. This one's sad. Last Friday, we lost Tawny Catane, actress Tawny Catane, at just 59. Now, okay. Actress, video vixen, reality TV star, rehab participant for addiction and body reshaping. She passed away, like I said, last Friday. Her brother believes it was from a broken heart. I think we can guess, while that may have been heart-related, decades of hard living did not do her any favors. I play this song because for those of you that remember the video for it, she was a big part of it. Very big part of it. The song is Here I Go Again by Whitesnake. She was in the video. She basically dances around and crazily does the splits, jumps on the cars. Anyway, she came on the scene mainstream in 1984 with Tom Hanks with Bachelor Party. Frankly, while that movie's never going to be remembered as a classic or any sort of filmmaking achievement, it definitely had its moments. She also was in the films Malibu, California Girls, and Witchboard. Her real claim to fame, though, was this video by Whitesnake. She basically seduced any and all males that were watching MTV at the time. Her dance, her doing the splits, climbing on the cars. She was actually briefly married to David Coverdale, the lead singer of Whitesnake, and then she was later married to California Angels pitcher Chuck Finley. She had some domestic violence issues there. Finley ended up filing for divorce. Here I go again. Okay, so anyway, she later popped up where basically the last step before retirement or oblivion or death, and that was on reality TV. She was on VH1's The Surreal Life in 2006, and then in 2008 she made a stop on the same network with a season of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. Look, I like Dr. Drew. I think he's dealing with people that really want to be coddled more than helped. But let's face it, his success rate seems to take a hit every couple of years. Jeff Conaway, China, Rodney King, Joey Kovar, Mindy McCready, Jason Davis, and Mike Starr all eventually succumbed to their addictions. And now Tawny Katane. On the other hand, look, many have credited Dr. Drew with sticking with them. Actor Tom Sizemore says Dr. Drew never gave up, and he said it took 10 years, but he finally has overcome the cycle of addiction, and that he can, he basically realizes now he can win the battle one day at a time. Oh, yeah, by the way, Mackenzie Phillips was also on that show. One day at a time, get it? Anyway, this is a really sad loss. She's basically my age, just a little bit older. She was really pretty. She seemed to have a decent career, and things just went off the rails at some point. Look, maybe it's the dating rock stars and sports stars thing, or maybe it's just fame itself, whatever. Some people just don't seem to handle it as well as others. And it's really sad because she leaves behind two kids, basically both grown now, but they no longer have a mom around. So, yeah, rest in peace, Tawny Katane. Very sad. Let's get to some politics news. I'm starting right out off the bat with this question. How is it that people who refuse to work because unemployment is, quote, so good, how is it that they continue to be eligible for unemployment? What the hell? You know, back when this country pretended to be normal, if you collected unemployment when work became available, you were reemployed. If you refused work, guess what? You lost your damn unemployment. Now we have businesses, especially small businesses and restaurants, that can't get employees to even work for them. Why? Because they're now competing with big businesses and now big government for employees. Seriously, what in the hell? Next, I'm going with the Colonial Pipeline. Anyone really believe a pipeline company got hacked, at least by normal hacks? Me neither. Do I believe some government wacko who hates all fossil fuels hacked in? Possibly. Or the EPA or some other useless government agency planted someone inside to hack into their system? I believe that a lot more than I believe some ransomware pirate from Russia was able to hack into what is basically infrastructure. Notice nobody ever hacks into the welfare computers or the unemployment computers for that matter. Notice nobody has ever hacked. I mean, look, they can steal your Social Security number. Have you ever heard about a hack at the Social Security Administration? Seriously, the same people who couldn't build a healthcare website for $15 billion are suddenly able to protect welfare websites, food stamps, unemployment, Social Security Administration computers. But an actual company with actual professionals managing their systems and their infrastructure gets hacked by a ransomware pirate. Sure. Oh, speaking of which, nothing to fear here, folks. Mayor Pete, a.k.a. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, a.k.a. Mayor Buttgag, is overseeing things. Yeah, sort of like having your ace running back blow out his knee and then sending your PR director over to check on things. What the actual hell? What in tarnation makes Mayor Buttgag qualified to manage a ransomware attack at a pipeline? Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, meanwhile, says we will have a challenging few days, but that we shouldn't panic or hoard. Sure, gas prices going up daily, if not twice daily. Why should people panic or hoard? Oh, on the other hand, Homeland Security leader Alejandro Mayorkas says he will waive the Jones Act so that non-American-built ships and or crews can bring in fuel to cities along the eastern seaboard. Kind of convenient, huh, that those folks, non-American ships and crews, kind of convenient that they're right here, right by the Eastern Seaboard, ready to cart fuel into us, huh? Now maybe you see why I don't believe this hack or ransomware attack is legitimate or planned, or maybe that it was planned or carried out with the blessing of some of our government types. Just saying. Hey, I want to welcome, as I've said before, Indy Hawk and T Bodie to the chat room. We've got brother Tommy and big sister and T Bodie and Sue from New Mexico on the phones. I see a couple of numbers I don't recognize. I'm taking a sip of water. So, yeah, there are now gas stations running out of fuel. This is day 6, I believe, of all this mess. Dopey Joe or the Biden-Harris administration going to spin this? More to the point, are they actually going to actually do anything about this election, alleged Russian crime group that is taking credit? Yeah, some folks in D.C. are, of course, blaming panic buying. In other words, they're blaming us, the unwashed, panicky types, who are too stupid to buy $80,000 luxury plug-in electric vehicles. By the way, look at the allegedly affected states. Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Virginia, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Texas, among others. How many of these states went for Biden? Legally, I mean. Look, almost all these states went for Trump. Now, Virginia being the exception, and of course, Georgia. Predominantly GOP representation. Obviously, like I said, Virginia's pretty split. The glaring exception, Georgia, they can be included in those punishment states. Why? Because of the election reform bill they passed. Yeah, folks, we can officially call this the retaliation administration. Here's a humdinger from Yahoo.com. Apparently, there's a group within the Republican Party, a group of more than, quote, 100 former elected or appointed officials who are demanding reforms or threatening to start a new party. Seriously. One of the ringleaders is former Trump administration official Miles Taylor. You remember he wrote that op-ed for the New York Times as anonymous in 2018, blasting the administration. Evidently, there are to be revealed principles that the group wants the Republican Party to embrace. Now, some of those in the group, former New Jersey governor and EPA head Christine Todd Whitman, former Pennsylvania governor and inaugural head of Department of Homeland Security Tom Ridge, former Transportation Secretary Mary Peters, several former wannabes who served stints in the U.S. House, and former CIA agent Evan McMullen. Remember, he ran for president as an independent in 2016. There are ostensibly, like I said, many others. They plan to issue a statement tomorrow titled Call for American Renewal. Taylor said, quote, "We're going to give the GOP one last chance to get its act together and moderate, but we're not going to hold our breath. We're ready to get out there and fight against the radical elements in the party to try to excise those elements from within the GOP and our national politics and to try to invest in the deeper pro-democracy bench." Hey, I'm just reading it. My reaction's twofold. One, this is absolute hogwash. This is nothing more than a response to the dumping and the replacement of Liz Cheney as House GOP conference chair, as the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, who was a pre-Trump establishment GOP. The group is just basically whiny ass about that move. It's an extension of the Never Trump folks who tried to derail the Trump campaign in 2016. And they seek to make sure and punish those who supported the election of Donald Trump. Look, number two, reading the statements and the article as a whole, this sounds eerily similar to the crap we are hearing from Big Left. They are literally endorsing a purge of any and all things with which they disagree. But unlike Democrats, who will welcome anybody and everybody with a cause or a complaint or a lust for control of others, this group seeks to alienate those people within their own party who have any feelings that they disagree with. In other words, the only difference between the two groups, the GOP splinter group isn't yet calling for a truth commission or re-education camps. That's about the only difference, and it may not be long until they do. Seriously. Just don't be shocked if we start hearing that one. We are on, I believe, and time differences mess me up on this. I think we are on day three of the Palestinian terrorist group Hamas and their rocket attacks on Israel. During the first 48 hours, the group fired as many as 1,300 rockets into several Israeli cities, including Tel Aviv. Now, homes and schools and hospitals and businesses have been destroyed. The Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, have responded quickly. They've launched counterstrikes at various strategic points. They took out a Hamas battalion commander. Six Israeli citizen deaths, unfortunately, so far, have been confirmed. North Korean spy and Biden-Harris administration press secretary Jen has said it's, quote, regrettable. Gee, such strong language, Jen. Look, this is really nothing more than Hamas, Iran, and others being emboldened by the anti-Semitism of the Biden-Harris administration. That's really all it is. The administration has been noncommittal on supporting Israel, who is under attack. They have not condemned the actions of Hamas. Scumbags like Andrew Yang and some mainstream media types have said Israel is just as bad, or others have said it's two equally bad players in the game. That's what they've actually said. In a span of less than 4 months, we have gone from supporting Israel and thus having seen minimal activity from her neighbors to abandoning Israel and all but allowing and even encouraging attacks on the country. I say minimal attacks because in reality, Hamas and the other homophobic, anti-Semitic terrorists in the region, they are daily launching attacks into Israel. Daily. As in, not one day goes by where Israel isn't attacked by one of its Arab, Palestinian, or other Islamic anti-Semitic neighbors. Yes, I know, the big attacks have stopped. But there's always, I mean, every day there's something. Rockets, grenades, whatever. As expected, this morning, the House GOP ousted Wyoming's Liz Cheney as the conference chair, the party's conference chair. Afterward, Cheney said she will actively work to keep Trump from ever being president again, but that she doesn't feel betrayed by fellow Republicans. Sure. Sure she doesn't. Here's what she said. I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office, adding, the nation needs a strong Republican Party based on the principles of conservatism. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said it wasn't Cheney's support of a second Trump impeachment that forced the issue, but rather her continued comments being off message and counter to the GOP's mission to retake control of the House in 2022. Mittens Romney, meanwhile, he said he had this to say on Twitter. Expelling Liz Cheney from leadership won't gain the GOP one additional voter, but it will cost us quite a few. Really? Really? Well, Liz Cheney herself said she's going to remain in the Republican Party. And that it... Her mission has changed, though, to living on her Trump derangement syndrome, basically. Oh, more good news on the economic front. The year-over-year consumer price index, basically the measure of inflation, jumped 4.2% in April after having already risen 2.6% in March. Given the recent surge in gas prices, expect it to go just as high or higher in May, although it's funny, on some indexes, they pull out energy and food inflation. Really? I mean, those don't cost money? Rodney Dangerfield said it best. Where are they building this place? Fantasyland? Seriously, the biggest, the largest, by the way, it's the largest one-year increase since the 4.9% in September of 2009. The biggest driver was a 25.1% increase in energy costs, with gasoline going up 49.6%. That's over the year period. Energy commodities rising 47.9%. Yeah, just freaking lovely. And although the Fed said prices are, quote, transitory and that it will not raise rates or reduce its monthly bond buying program, we shall see, shan't we? Yeah. By the way, speaking earlier about the unemployment, Missouri Governor Mike Parson has joined other Republican governors seeking to end the federal pandemic unemployment program. He said in part that conversations with business owners show that the one thing hurting reemployment the most is the federal unemployment subsidy, which was initially intended to be temporary but has now lasted almost a year. So Missouri will cease participation in that program as of June 12th. Okay, on to sports. And a quick water break. I got a scratch in my throat. So back on May 1st, trainer Bob Baffert notched a record 7th Kentucky Derby win with Medina Spirit. The horse was not the favorite, and despite recent lackluster appearances, it led wire to wire for the win. And then this past Sunday, we learned that the horse tested positive for betamethasone, a banned substance. Now, Baffert, for his part, played it off as, quote, cancel culture and persecution. No, until yesterday, anyway, when he admitted the horse had been given the substance inadvertently. Now, how in the hell that happens, I will never know. I have yet to accidentally give my championship mini Australian Shepherd banned substances. Look, she's a champ all on her own, whether it's catching a frisbee, leading us on a hike, or herding a jolly egg, or frankly, herding Mrs. Hank into the bathtub shower. She does not need banned substances, and I would never inadvertently give her one. So how does this happen? First, make no mistake, it's intentional. While Baffert is accepting his suspension from Churchill Downs, and himself, he won't go to the Preakness, guess what? Medina Spirit will still be running. Derby favorite Essential Quality, and as well as Derby runner-up Mandaloon, are not going to Baltimore. That was already planned. Never fear, though. Like I said, the Triple Crown is still in play. Much as we all like to see a Triple Crown every once in a while, Bob Baffert trained the two most recent Triple Crown winners, American Pharaoh in 2015 and Justify in 2018. Now, look, Justify had some serious lineage, including Seattle Slough and Secretariat. Still, a year after completing the Triple Crown, it was revealed that Justify had tested positive for the banned substance scopolamine after the Santa Anita Derby, roughly a month before the Kentucky Derby. The board at Santa Anita subsequently explained that they dismissed the case, as several other horses in the same barn, but from different owners and trainers, all had similar levels. All had received the same feed, and vets assured the board it was entirely possible for that to be the cause. But look, again, after the 2018 Belmont, where Justify completed his Triple Crown run, there were allegations of a different Baffert horse and a jockey, all but creating a clear, uncontested path for Justify by running wide, then crowding the rail, and again running wide. In short, Bob Baffert may be a champion trainer. Then again, he may just be a cheater. I don't know. Oh, by the way, if you bet on Mandaloon or any other horse in the Kentucky Derby, tough luck. First, Medina Spirit has not been disqualified, at least not yet. Second, even if he is, the prize money drops down a level, but bettors, sorry, since the race was declared official by Churchill Downs folks, bettors won't see a penny of their money, no will. Show, place, or combination bets be recalculated. Yeah. Then again, whoever said sports was a clean business anyway? Sports can be clean. Business can be clean. Sports business, not so clean, at least not always. Hey, Tim Tebow is making an NFL comeback. And guess what? He plans to kneel. But in this case, Tebow will kneel to acknowledge and show thanks to the glory of God. Anyway, he's been signed as a tight end by the Jacksonville Jaguars, the same Jacksonville Jaguars that are now coached by Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow's former college coach at the University of Florida back in 2006 to 2008. He also gave us what some in the media called the Tebow rule. Remember, the NCAA banned messages in a player's eye black? That's the stuff that goes under the eyes to mitigate brightness of the sun. Remember, Tebow used to put in messages, biblical messages, and then the NCAA banned that. They say it wasn't from or it wasn't because of Tebow. They said it was just in general. We got a caller on the line, and I have a feeling I know who it is. So let us welcome in, if I can find his music. Where is his music? Oh, here it is. Let us welcome in. Brother Tommy.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone.
What's up, Brother Tommy?
I'm not convinced you've explained it to the folks, but if you're Hank Jones, that makes me Tom Jones. I don't know if you've explained it to them properly.
I did probably not properly.
Beautiful
but I tried.
Leeway.
Yeah.
I'm going to go real quick because I don't want to disturb this show. You're off a little bit on the horse racing. There's about three people in the world that know more about horse racing than me.
I know. You told us already.
They all fucking cheat. They all cheat. Baffert cheats. Fletcher cheats. All of them cheat. That's what they do. It's the Alabama coach, the old one. You know who I'm talking about. The legendary one, not safe. Bear Bryant says, if you're not cheating, you're not trying hard enough. So I just wanted to let the viewers know that they all cheat. All of these trainers do. It's called milkshakes. What they do is they have masking agents in their the veterinarians' shit so they don't get busted. Well, guess what? Every once in a while they get busted. And the other thing I will say, and I'm telling you, I have lost my religion, and I am not bullshitting. And Tebow will too. If anything ever goes bad in his life, trust me on that one. But the guy should be admired, or at least respected. Maybe not admired, at least respected. And the shit that Tim Tebow gets from people is just beyond my grasp. I don't get it. I just had to throw in those two comments. You had said a couple of political comments, but my brain doesn't serve all the time, so I forget what they were, but I just wanted to quickly throw that shit in.
Well, you know, I know you're right. I think they probably all do cheat. I mean, I have heard, for instance, like the sprinters that you see in track, that they're all juiced. It's just some are better at hiding it. I mean,
shit. The horses, you know. Are you kidding me? The horses, I used to be, I've said it before on the show before the free, I'll tell you who won. My oldest sister will tell you. No, I called two horses, but I called one of the winners when she went down the trainer jockey combination and stuff. She tells me Baffert Velasquez, and I'm like 12, or at the time it was 15-1. I'm like, it's going to go down to 5-1. I do not know what happened with the gamblers, why it didn't go down to 5-1. It went down to 12-1. That's stealing money. And horse racing guys, I swear to God, if I still went to the track, it would have been like stealing money. Just a tremendous combination. But my only thing, and I'm not correcting you, that's too strong of a term, but they let me tell you something right now. Todd Pletcher, he's going to probably have a second favorite in the Pimlico because it's called Horses for Courses, and he does the Pimlico circuit, which is where the Preakness is going to be run.
Right. And Pletcher himself, he's been suspended multiple times, too.
Fletcher's a fucking cheater, but the thing is, this is my point. They're all fucking cheaters. I think I said this on your show once. Maybe I didn't. I know no one cares about horse racing probably on the show, so I'll make it quick. But they literally have gotten to a stage, and I am not exaggerating. I'm not speaking figuratively. I'm speaking literally, where handicappers do the background and find out who the veterinarians are. Not the trainers, not the jockeys, not the horses, the veterinarians, because they fucking cheat. It's that simple. Yeah. So that's you said something else earlier I wanted to comment
on.
Well,
was it about Justify? Because just remember I said Justify had lineage. You know,
wasn't talking about that. And incidentally, I will correct you on that one.
I mean, it is.
Secretariat had good progeny, but it wasn't great progeny. So you're kind of wrong on that one.
No. But I'm saying Seattle Slough, I'm saying Justify had Seattle Slew in his bloodline, and he had Secretary. Remember, it's the gene that does the running. The horse got absolutely nothing to do.
I understand that. I understand Pope of Greenwich Village. The problem is some horses become good sires, others don't. And Secretariat was decent. You would think he would have been the best. He's not. You go to the grass, you look at a horse named Silverhawk. Some horses do better, or their progeny does better than other horses. And you would think Secretariat would be great. Secretariat was good as far as progeny-wise. Now, Secretariat was arguably, not even arguably, he was the best horse that's ever run. I don't know Man of War's history. But you said something on politics, son of a bitch, I forgot it.
Well, was it about about the unemployment stuff?
Oh, that's just, oh, you know what? Oh, you know, okay. Yeah, an offshot of that. I had a boss. I probably said this last week on your show, and I know I'm a broken record, but I'm going to say it one more time, then I'll let you go. I had a boss who once told me that in Rome, before the decline of the civilization, they threw money on the streets. And he was being literal. And I'm like, that's bullshit. And then I looked it up. He was absolutely right. Well, now we just do it in a different form. We're throwing money on the streets.
Well, because we don't have to throw money. We just direct deposit it, or we send.
Correct. Right.
So it's the same thing.
I'm speaking. That's my point. It's the same thing. I was talking to older sister or whatever you call her on the line. It's like, and I was talking to our other couple of siblings last night, and no one gets it. Rome is burning. And by Rome, I mean the United States. It's burning. I talked to Hawkeye, or not talk, but I, text with Hawkeye Mike, who's much more educated than me, much smarter than me, as are you, but he's like 2022, we're going to get it back. You guys are out of your freaking gourds if you think we're going to get it back. We're not. It's simple. We're not. Because the masses are asses, and we're a bunch of dumbasses in this country. And you had said something. I've said it before on the show. I don't follow the news anymore, but I do have a macro level of conception. It's just this. You had another story
another,
that was just
another
to me
thing.
Out of
here's
out,
another,
of, out of the realm of possibility.
Another thing, the way that the U.S. has gone from, being an ally of Israel to almost just abandoning them.
That's what I wanted to say.
You talk about biblical prophecies and stuff. I mean, everyone
will
abandon Israel.
That's what I wanted to say. That was the other one. Okay, I'm going to interrupt, and then I will let you go and let you do your show. That's what I wanted to say. Two things. Number one, I had a professor. You probably knew his name. You went to University of Iowa, too. His name was Holstein.
He said
the minute America abandons Israel, Israel is fucked. Now, he didn't put it like that, but that was his general message. Now, I will say this, Mossad, Israel military forces, they are tough motherfuckers. Fuckers. So I'm telling you, they will fucking take Hamas down if they need to.
Yeah.
But if we abandon Israel, they are in huge, huge trouble.
Well, it won't
be Hamas.
It won't be Iran. But when we don't step in, when Russia or China decide to turn on them, I mean, completely go against them. Yeah, and that's what will happen. The Biden administration will never stand up to Russia or China if they want to go after Israel.
Like I said, Rome's burning. Sorry, hate to be the pessimist. Have Hawkeye Mike call in. He's an optimist. And like I said, he knows more about this shit than I do. But I'm telling you, I got a gut feeling, and I've called everything except the stock market collapse at this time, which it will collapse. Don't get me wrong. It's going down 30% within the next 4 months. I can guarantee you that. But I've called everything only because, I
This one scares me. Yeah, this one scares me. This one, what's happening with Israel scares me. And Vito and Al were talking about it on their
show.
They were talking about it on their
show.
Yeah, they were talking about it on Vito and Al's show Monday. And Al and Vito have both been over there, and Al and multiple times. And they've, you know, Al's really not in tune with what's going on. And it's just, it's frightening because it's not a matter of Israel not being able to take care of itself against Hamas. I mean, that's a minor detail. I mean, the only thing that stops Israel from wiping them all out is
it's emblematic of a bigger point, though, is the problem.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Yeah, no, Israel can defend itself, but you're right. China or Russia steps in. Israel's fucked. They're fucked. And, hey, man, I didn't mean to take up your showtime.
No,
I just wanted to quickly say that about the horse race, and I had to correct you a little bit. You know a little bit about it. I know a lot about it. And also the Israel thing. And this is the thing I will tell people. You can listen. You can dismiss it. Makes no difference to me. But Holstein, who was very bright, you evidently had a class with him too. Yeah, he said, when America gives up on Israel, Israel is fucked. It's an important thing. I didn't even know about this until you said it, because I don't do politics anymore. And you said a few other things. I'm like, holy shit, what's going on in the world? But no, Israel's going to be fucked unless we back them up. Biden's not going to unless his fucking son can get a $5 billion contract with him. And then, you know, all right, I'm getting too off the rails here. But anywho, Hank, great talking to you.
Good talking to you.
Have a great rest of the show.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, man.
Have Hawkeye Mike call in. He's at least an optimist.
He's busy today. So, well, stay on the line. I'm gonna mute you, but stay on the line because I got to play your exit music. So, we'll talk to you later. Yeah, that's Brother Tommy. Yes, it's not unusual. Yeah, Brother Tommy and I talk, of course. It's scary, you know, when the U.S., and that's what's frightening. If the U.S. abandons Israel, Israel can take care of itself in the Middle East. Israel cannot stand against China, North Korea, Russia. And frankly, the only thing, you know, the U.S. will, if the U.S. steps by, and that's what will happen under Joe Biden, if the U.S. steps aside, yeah, then it's over. And that's what we should be fearing. Okay, back to some sports. Despite protests against no protesting, also over fake COVID-19 concerns and other anti-Olympic protests, the 2020 Games, really the 2021 Games, will go on at Tokyo in September 2021. A group out of Los Angeles calling itself No Olympics crashed the IOC's virtual press conference. And here's the thing. Naomi Osaka, the world's second-ranked women's tennis player, is conflicted about the event. She says she looks forward to playing in her home country but is concerned about the risk. I thought we were done with this almost. Rafael Nadal, who's the men's third-ranked tennis player, says he's also unsure, which is really weird since both have been playing a lot since the game returned. But I think it got summed up with this. Serena Williams, much more direct. She said if COVID protocols means that she can't bring her 3-year-old daughter, she will not go. And remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Not allowing family, not allowing personal coaches and personal assistants and stuff, just allowing athletes and team staff. That's gonna kill the games for a lot of people. So why have it? Well, I'll tell you, among the other problems, there are a lot of other complaints that have come forth. Among them is a $15 billion price tag, which seems to be an issue. Good Lord, did these people not realize $15 billion is one round of stimulus checks for the California prison system? Good Lord. Of course, the Alabama Crimson Tide football team picked up via the transfer portal, picked up Tennessee's top tackler from last year. Yeah, the rich get richer. Tide head coach Nick Saban, meanwhile, he's done a public service announcement urging folks to get vaccinated for COVID-19. Now, there is no word yet on whether future vaccination prospects will be given McDonald's bags stuffed with cash, but who knows? Post-spring ball, ESPN has a new top-ranked college football team, Oklahoma, probably by themselves getting several high-profile transfers. They've moved to the top spot. They started out number three. Alabama is still number two. Georgia moves from four to three. Initially top-ranked Clemson drops to fourth, mainly because their top backup quarterback, and some set thought he would challenge for the starting job. He tore his Achilles tendon in the spring game. Now, look, for Hawkeye fans, if you want to rank on Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz not having a spring game, fine. But you see now with the Clemson situation one reason for it. Jermell Lewis, anyone, 2003, one of the top running backs, blows out his knee in spring practice right for the week before the spring game. Look, a team like Iowa is always challenged with depth, a team at that level. Wisconsin, you know, a lot of them can do – we can do great in conference or we can even win a big bowl game. But when it comes to top echelon, a team like Iowa is always challenged with depth. Look, starter-wise, yeah, we're not always Alabama or even Ohio State, but the drop-off in most years isn't as big as ESPN would have you believe. But in terms of depth, it's a huge issue. Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, even Notre Dame usually, they have a wealth of depth throughout their roster that most programs simply don't have. They just don't. By the way, the Hawkeyes have dropped a couple slots to number 14. While in-state rival Iowa State sits at number six. I'm going to take a quick break, mainly so that I can try and chug down some water and more iced coffee and get this scratch out of my throat. But a little music for you while I go load up. Be right back. Are back. I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports on Global Patriot Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call, if you would like, is 319-527-6706. And we talk politics and sports, of course. And now we are in the section I always call Poly Sports. The Olympics are fast approaching the status of completely worthless. The International Weightlifting Federation is modifying its qualification criteria, which would include athletes, quote, identifying as females to compete, to allowing them to compete in the Tokyo Olympics, possibly later this year. Seriously, what the hell is it going to take to allow female athletes to compete against actual females? Look, forget Title IX, which is an American regulation. I'm talking about across the globe. I thought we got rid of all that when we required chromosome tests. Remember that kind of chased away the Russian female athletes back in the 1970s? Now look, we of course have the South African middle distance runner, who looks a hell of a lot more like Usain Bolt than she does Evelyn Ashford or Susie Favor Hamilton. And look, that's not her fault because she was supposedly born like that. But are we really back to this now? We've come a long way assuring and ensuring equitable competition for women. Now we've even got Bruce Lynn Jenner, of all people, speaking out to say that trans athlete, let's face it, he means male athletes, should not be allowed to compete against female athletes. Let's not forget, we are not seeing any Olympic-level females wanting to compete as males. Why? Because there would be zero chance of success in almost any sport, and they most likely wouldn't even be able to meet minimum qualifying Olympic standards. So what is it about these twisted, quote-unquote, athletes that brings forth this vocal enough contingent to say, let them compete? Steve Deese, or Dace, it's pronounced, he said it best. He said it on my 57th birthday, the first summer after I started this show, July 31st, 2019. Here's what he said, basically. It's a mental disease. That's what it is. You know, the administration, even the NCAA has said, in some cases, if states ban transgender athletes, we might not hold events there. Really? Really? How would they feel if Luka Garza, as an example, our men's basketball player of the year this past year, what if he had said for his last season that he identifies as a female and decided to go out for the Iowa women's team? I'll tell you one thing. You'd be talking about your national champion Iowa Hawkeye women's team is what you'd be talking about. It's mind-boggling. Look, I'll say it again. It's not a thing about trans people. I get that that exists. I'm not so stupid as to think that it's a hoax, like any more than I thought the coronavirus was a hoax. I'm not so stupid as to think that there aren't people that don't have that issue. That's not what I'm talking about. Athletes. We're talking about poly sports, politics and sports. And in this case, it is the politics of sports, an invasion of politics into sports. When people say it's okay, it's not okay. But yet it's going to happen in the Olympics, quite possibly. Look, I can tell you all the studies. Vito and I have talked about it offline. Bone density, lung capacity. I didn't even realize, but lung capacity. Fast twitch muscle fibers. Now, that's not as great a difference, but it is a difference. Musculature. It's just, I mean, don't listen to me. I mean, of all these people have been saying, follow the science. For the past year about the COVID, they keep saying follow the science about climate change, in spite of the fact that there's so much that says not that the science is not conclusive on climate change. But when it comes to this, suddenly follow the science is right out the window. And it's why? Because I don't know why. I can't fathom other than Steve Deese put it best. It's a mental disease. Well, you know what? Let's get on. I guess the All-Star Game isn't the only screw-up that Major League Baseball wants to commit. The league is pushing the Oakland A's to relocate from Oakland. Unless, of course, city pronouns come up with a new taxpayer-funded stadium. This has to stop. It just has to. Look, we all love our sports teams. We all like nicer stadiums when we go. I mean, I get it. When a new one gets built, we live it. We all love it for a while, at least for a little while. You know, it's neat when you go to a new stadium and they got the latest, you know, of places there, the latest restaurant choices and the latest craft beers and all that kind of stuff. We like that. Who doesn't? But at some point, we need to look at the actual bottom line and say enough. That, or we the fans, have to commit to staying home and watching games on TV and letting teams leave if they don't get their way. Look, I've lived in Florida most of my adult life. Orlando built a new stadium when the Magic were awarded an NBA franchise back in 1989. Now, that stadium is gone. Gave way to various development projects. And while a new arena sits less than a mile away, it, you know, whatever, they built a soccer stadium, which also was in the city's most depressed section. Area residents were uprooted, relocated, scattered around the city. They gave some of them, they put them in, you know, quote-unquote mixed-use and mixed-income housing developments. In and of itself, that's not the bad part. Look, you can build new stadiums. You can attempt to repatriate people. You can relocate or gentrify given areas. But in the end, when you do that, you have adults being uprooted. You have children going to schools with kids they don't know in areas they've never been. And guess what? 30-plus years later, Orlando hasn't sniffed a championship. The homeless problem doesn't improve. The crime rate hasn't been eliminated. They've just relocated it. But that's around the country. That's not just Orlando or not just Oakland or wherever. I mean, the Golden State Warriors, they left Oakland for San Francisco. Guess what? San Francisco's an official crap hole. And when I say official crap hole, I mean people crap in the streets there. Out in the open. I don't mean hiding behind a tree. I mean they people crap in the streets. Out in the open now. In San Francisco. 100 years ago, even 75 years ago, it was thought to be the prettiest city in the country. Now, not even close. Essentially, taxpayers have to stand up. Let teams foot the bill. Let corporate money foot the bill. Now, I get it. We buy or buy the things that make corporations go. I assure you of this. Taxpayers cannot afford to keep footing the bill. We're going to have runaway inflation, folks. I mean, in the last year plus, we've had close to $8 trillion of unfunded spending. And when I say unfunded spending, I mean money that's just been, it's just money that gets just thrown onto an amount that gets thrown onto a piece of paper. Checks get sent out. There's no money. I mean, the Fed is literally, as I mentioned earlier, its bond buying program. It's buying up its own debt, essentially. It's monetizing the debt or remonetizing the debt. That's, I mean, the fact we haven't had runaway inflation to this point is mind-boggling. They say it's because, you know, we've kept interest rates low. Consumer interest rates are going to go up real quick. And inflation is going to go up real quick. And then when you couple it with intentional mismanagement, as in fake ransomware attacks on pipelines, good Lord, we don't even know how bad it's going to get. We just don't. Hey, last week I talked about a feature that I want to start June 2nd. Mrs. Hank asks if I got any emails. I have not looked at them yet. Well, I don't look at that particular email account every day. But remember this email address, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. What I want to do, I want to remember America was built on small and independent businesses. Now, the COVID pandemic derailed many of them. It shut many of them down. It helped the big box stores. And look, I don't begrudge that. None of us should begrudge that. You can say, well, Amazon got rich. Well, you know what? We bought from Amazon. We all did. That's not Amazon's fault. Amazon didn't create the COVID pandemic, the plandemic. There's a lot that they may have contributed later, but they didn't, you know, they weren't in some lab. They weren't mismanaging, and even if it isn't a lab, they weren't mismanaging what was going on in China. But look, restaurants and bars, boom. Non-essential retail, hard hit. In-home services, people lost jobs. Some have started new careers. But whatever. I mean, it's businesses were hit. So what I want to start doing once every couple months is featuring small and independent businesses around the country. Now, if anybody has an in to Lenny's Pub in Cincinnati, I would love to get them on. So if any of you know somebody there, email me or call in on the show, because that's the pub that essentially said, we are not going to show the NBA until they kick LaJuan James out of the league after his tweet threatening a police officer. So every couple months I want to feature those businesses, but I want to feature other ones as well. If you know of a business or if you're in an industry that was hard hit, I would love to have you on for a little bit. You don't have to commit a whole 2-hour show or anything like that. I'd love 15 to 30 minutes per person, but I want to talk to those. I want to talk to people that started business as a result of this. Look, this plandemic has caused a lot of grief in this country, and we need to take it back. Now, Brother Tommy gets negative. I get it. He doesn't think the Republicans can take the House back. And guess what? Even if they do, it doesn't matter if they just screw the pooch. But look, we need to hear from the businesses. We need to hear from independent businesses in this country. Look, I get it. We're all going to always go to Walmart. We're always going to buy Microsoft products, Apple products. That's a given. It's going to happen. But let's hear from independent businesses that make this country great. Let's hear from people that are small entrepreneurs in terms of scope, maybe, but maybe have huge ideas. That's who I want to hear from. So if you know any of those people, email me, hjpsports1980@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter, @hpolysports. Go to Facebook if you want. Just look up Hank Jones Polysports. Shoot me a message or a post that way. But let's get back to recognizing the independent American business people. As for today's laughies, this, I don't know if it's a laughy or what exactly. It actually happened yesterday or the day before. NBC, first, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, they produce, if you will, the Golden Globe Awards. Now, I haven't watched that in a couple of years. It used to be an indicator of what was going to happen at the Oscars, so I used to watch it on occasion. I haven't the last couple of years. But anyway, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association came under fire because it's not represented well enough. There aren't enough black members. Now, think about it. Hollywood Foreign Press Association. I can see why there should be some, but why should there be any great number? I mean, they try to inject these quote-unquote quotas. Well, you know, how many black people work in the foreign press of Hollywood? Maybe that's what they should find out before they just start arbitrarily throwing out numbers. So anyway, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association tried to make some improvements and stated these plans that they're going to make. Well, it doesn't matter. NBC is not going to show the Golden Globe Awards next year because the Hollywood Foreign Press Association evidently hasn't done enough. And NBC says, quote, they need time to get their act together. So, yeah, rather than try and support them, they're not going to show them. I mean, isn't it always the way? You know, sort of like Major League Baseball. Well, you know, Georgia's done this terrible thing with its voting regulations. By the way, Florida's done it. Other states have done it. But they say, oh, so how do they – so let's punish them. So, yeah, they say it's anti-minority, what happened in Georgia with their vote. So, yeah, let's punish them by taking business in form of the All-Star Game away from minority businesses. Well, yeah, so the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, the NBC network, is not going to show the Golden Globes. But get this. Tom Cruise has returned his 3 Golden Globe trophies. Now, bear in mind, none of these, one of them, actually, one of them translated to an Oscar, the Best Supporting Actor for Magnolia, but his Best Actor awards that he won for Born on the 4th of July and Jerry Maguire, neither of them garnered him an actual Oscar. Now, he was good. He's a good actor. I'm not going to – some people will say, you know, Tom Cruise – he's actually a very good actor, Tom Cruise is. I don't begrudge his acting chops at all. It's hellacious. It's absolute horrible to see him try to run on screen. He's gotten better over the years, but gosh, when he runs, it's not a pretty sight. It's not as bad as Brad Pitt in the film Across the Tracks, but it's not pretty any way you look at it. Kind of throws credibility to the wind. But yeah, he returned his 3 Golden Globe Awards. What the hell? Why? What does that signify? Does he think for one second that that's going to make the Hollywood Foreign Press Association more diverse? It's like, oh, we better get a little more diverse. We don't want Tom Cruise sending his 3 trophies back. What? I mean, what does that even mean? It's like we hear. It's like when Michelle Obama or Oprah or LaJuan James goes on TV in their palatial estate and tells everyone how oppressed they are here in America. Really? Yeah. LaJuan, you're so oppressed. Michelle, you're so oppressed. Michelle said at one point that one time she saw a white person get stopped and then get let go. That they were stopped in a traffic stop and they were allowed to leave. That's how she is oppressed. She herself's never been stopped or anything, but she has seen white people stopped and been allowed to leave without a ticket to her. That's oppressed her. Well, Tom Cruise, evidently, the injustice of the Hollywood Foreign Press has caused him to have to give back his 3 Golden Globe Awards. Now, look, here's the best part about the Golden Globe Awards. Look, the awards are kind of arbitrary. You kind of wonder how they get, you know, because they're oftentimes don't translate at all to the other awards. But the good thing is those people are there. They're sitting at tables. They're eating and drinking. So the award speeches are actually quite good. Sometimes they're political, but usually they're not. Usually they're just up there half ripped out of their gourds. So it makes for good entertainment. But again, we are going to make the Hollywood Foreign Press more diverse by not showing their award show. Well, where does the bulk of their income from? It's from NBC showing their award show. So they're going to have less money, so they're going to have less resources to make themselves more diverse. Good going, NBC. That was today's quasi-laffy, if you will. Well, I've hit the whole agenda today, folks. So I want to thank everyone for being here. Sue from New Mexico, Big Sister, T. Bodie, Brother Tommy, and a couple numbers I don't recognize. And then T. Bodie and Indie Hawk in the chat room. Thanks, Brother Tommy, for coming on, setting me straight, by the way, on the Bobby Baffert and Everybody Cheats. I want to thank Mrs. Hank for being here, of course, and for our little mini Aussie, who was very good during the show, didn't come up and paw on me or anything. So, yeah, that's it, folks. We've had it for this week. Hey, again, shoot me an email, hjpsports1980. I want to hear from some independent businesses. June 2nd, I want to have this show. I want to talk to these businesses. If anybody has an in to Linny's Sports Pub in Cincinnati, that would be aces. And Mrs. Hank says if I check my email, I might have some recommendations. So, hey, folks, y'all have a good week. Y'all stay safe. It's getting to be hurricane season for those in the southeast. So be ready for that. Start getting prepared for that. Tornado season in the Midwest. And so have your preps ready, have your food, you know, all that good stuff ready. And, hey, kids are starting to get out of school in some areas, so welcome them home. Give them something to do this summer. In the meantime, have a good week. Be safe. And enjoy the Preakness this Saturday, even though they all cheat, as Brother Tommy pointed out. Sayonara, folks. Send you off with a little bit of Jeff Beck. Good night, folks. Stay safe.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.